Welcome to episode 525 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Christians ought to be peculiar, set apart, distinctive. And one way in which we are called to be different is in how we define greatness. Mark 10 verses 42 to 45. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In the New Testament, the word for servant that is most commonly used is a Greek word which means to bind. It also came to mean one who gives himself up to the will of another, and became the most common word for servant in general without any idea of bondage attached to it. Basically, a willing slave. In Romans 1 verse 1, the Apostle Paul calls himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ, indicating that having been bought by Christ, he has now become a willing slave, binding himself to his new master, Jesus. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. In the kingdom community, status, money, and popularity are not the prerequisites for leadership. Humble service is the greatest and only prerequisite, as displayed by Jesus' own ministry. But it's not just leaders who should serve. Galatians 5 verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Going back to Mark 10, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Real ministry is done for the benefit of those ministered to, not for the benefit of the minister. Many people are in the ministry for what they can receive, either materially or emotionally, from their people, instead of what they can give. In Galatians, Paul talks about using our freedom to serve. In 1 Peter 2 verse 16, Peter writes this to us: "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. We are free, but in this freedom, we willingly serve each other and willingly serve God." So what exactly are the characteristics of a faithful servant? Let us consider 7 attributes. Number 1, a faithful servant is obedient. A servant of the Lord is someone who obeys the Lord. This means serving where the Lord directs and following God's guidance if he directs us away from something. There are many times when we feel we should take on a certain ministry because others expect it of us, or maybe we even expect it of ourselves. But just because an opportunity is good or seems good doesn't mean that it is meant for us to do. 2, a faithful servant is humble. A servant of God has a humble attitude. True humility is not thinking less of ourselves than others. It's simply not considering ourselves at all. It means not chasing after accolades, approval, or even appreciation. Our focus is on what we can give to others, not what we're trying to get for ourselves. Number 3, a faithful servant is sacrificial. Servants of God are willing to set aside their own plans, desires, and rights to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Going where he leads often comes at a cost, but a servant of God pays it willingly. 4, faithful servants keep their focus on God. Servants of God keep their eyes fixed on the character of God, trusting in his goodness no matter the circumstances. Many times in life, the authenticity of our servant heart will be evidenced simply by our heart's posture as we walk through trials. Number 5, a faithful servant is motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13 is clear that no matter our gifts or areas of service, if not motivated by genuine love, we are but a clanging noise. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Serving God in whatever form must be motivated by love. It's interesting that the first two descriptors of love in this chapter are these. Love is patient and love is kind. The rest of the chapter describes what love looks like in action, but only these two words, patient and kind, are used to define what love is. However we are serving God, may our heart's true intention always be patient and kind. 6, a faithful servant serves where needed. Are we willing to serve where help is needed, or just only where we prefer or feel comfortable? Are we willing to serve in quiet, unnoticeable, and often unappreciated or unacknowledged ways? Are we willing to serve in the face of criticism, in the face of ridicule, in the face of rejection, in the face of suffering? Maybe it looks like arriving early to get set up for a meeting. Maybe it looks like making sure the garbage gets taken out or the songbooks get put away. Or maybe it looks like sitting still and just being present, offering a listening ear and compassionate shoulder to someone who needs encouragement when you'd be rather headed out for lunch. Whatever it is, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to offer you in a way that's inconvenient or unnatural, a servant of God will do it anyway, with patience and kindness. Number 7, a faithful servant expects to suffer. When Jesus said to take up our cross and follow him, he was asking us to count the cost because he knew there would be one. Loving without condition is risky. Following Jesus leads to rejection and persecution from the world. Grace will be taken for granted. It doesn't just cost our own agendas. It costs our comfort, our pride, and in some cases, our very lives. Matt Smithhurst, lead pastor of River City Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, editor at the Gospel Coalition and author, once said this on Twitter. When we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we must remember what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus. But Paul said it first in Romans 8, verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. If we truly want to be servants of God, then we must understand and expect that it will come at a cost. Father, fill us with your love so that we may be blessings in the lives of others. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.